It's March Madness, but before you go filling out your brackets, why not learn a little bit about the most famous basketball team of them all? Easy Duke fans, and no, not MJ's Bulls. I'm talking about the Harlem Globetrotters, a barnstorming team from way back before basketball was even remotely as popular as it is today. Dealing with segregation, intense travel, and the challenge of turning Americans on to a relatively unpopular sport, the Globetrotters became a household name the world over. In this episode of the History Explorer podcast, curator Eric Gentsch discusses the history of the team and how their story fits into the larger context of American history.
Gents, I'm a curator at the National Museum of American History in the Division of Culture and the Arts. The Globetrotters are known throughout the world because they've created something very unique. They present a sporting event that is also entertainment. The Harlem Globetrotters are not from Harlem. They're actually from Chicago. In the 1920s, there was a club called the Savoy Ballroom in Chicago, and it was for African-American patrons. There was a team called the Savoy Big Five, and this team would play before or after dances, and they would play other local semi-pro teams. Eventually, two of those players decide to set off on their own. They get a total of five members, and they want to travel around the Midwest and the West and play games against local teams. Basketball was a relatively new sport, and it was not the most popular sport in America. Horse racing and boxing, baseball, were all much bigger, and the game, the way it was played, was a lot different than today. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of people who played high school basketball, but there weren't a lot of places for them to go afterward. There was college, but if you weren't going to go to college, maybe you played on one of these traveling clubs. Mm-hmm. In order for this all-black team to travel around the country, they needed someone who was white to help book the games. And this would be Abe Saperstein in the Globetrotters case. Saperstein was an immigrant from England of Polish-Jewish descent. So he faced some of the same segregation as African Americans. Not exactly the same, but still some. And he and the five players would travel around the West and the Midwest in a Model T Ford and play local clubs. The reason they chose the name Harlem Globetrotters is twofold. One, Harlem was the center of what was known as the Harlem Renaissance, in which a lot of the great thinkers and performers in the African community, it's where they congregated and had a really literate, well-educated audience. There was a team called the Harlem Renaissance, made up of African-American ballplayers, that set the standard for African-American basketball at the time. The name Harlem also would be an indication to all the white audiences that were going to see the Globetrotters play that the players were African-American. In many cases, the Globetrotters presented the first African-Americans that the audience had ever seen. So it was kind of a warning that this is what was coming. Another reason they chose the name Harlem, even though they're from Chicago, was because they wanted to give the impression to the audience that they were seeing some sort of high-ranking exotic team from the East and not just local guys from Chicago. They modeled themselves after the Harlem Renaissance, who played the Renaissance Casino in Harlem. They were also emulating a lot of barnstorming that was going on at the time. You have to imagine that prior to TV, there weren't a lot of things in small rural communities for them to be entertained by. So outsiders from the bigger cities would often come and travel through and play an exhibition game, put on a performance, and then leave and go on to the next town. And this was like a big deal to these towns, because it gave them something to do. Often in the winter when it was cold, you can go inside and see a basketball game and be entertained for a couple hours. You know, today with computers and film and TV, you don't really have that same sort of... No, the barnstorming teams could take on a lot of different characters. They could be a bunch of local guys from a certain, from a company. They could be from a religious denomination. There was a team called the House of David where all the players were Jewish. It was more of a way, sometimes it was a way to represent a company, and sometimes it was a way just for people who are in, who wanted to make money being an athlete could do so.
What was going on in the professional leagues that...
Basketball as a professional sport had almost zero interest at this time. It's hard to imagine, but it wasn't until really until the 50s that the NBA developed as a spectator sport. In fact, at that time, the Globetrotters were more popular than the NBA teams, so they would play doubleheaders in which they would play a game and the NBA team would play a game. They soon found out that people would leave after the Globetrotters game, so then they had to book it as the second game. So the Globetrotters were really instrumental in making professional basketball a viable option for American audiences. You have to imagine this is a time of the Depression, the late 1920s. Five black men and a Polish Jewish man all go into a Model T Ford with no heater and drive through still very segregated America. They were not able to stay in white hotels. They often couldn't find places to eat. They couldn't take a break in the game because there's only five of them, and they played almost every night. This organization then went on to become the best and most popular basketball team in the world by continuing to work hard, playing for everybody, and creating innovations in the game that excited fans and proved that African Americans could play basketball as well as any other group. It's almost laughable to think today that there was an impression that African Americans couldn't play basketball, that they didn't have the skill set, they didn't have the mindset. And if you look at today's professional basketball leagues, it's predominantly African American. So they really opened the door for modern athletes.
When you mentioned innovations and the fact that this team is kind of predating both the NBA and the popularity of professional basketball, what sort of things do you know that...
The Globetrotters would go to all these small towns and whip the pants off the teams they were playing. After a while, they began to develop something that became known as the show. And this is what most people identify the Globetrotters with today. The show consisted of a humorous presentation of basketball that involved a lot of trick shots, fancy dribbling, and comedic skits. The reason that they came up with these is with this sort of entertainment option was because with only five players initially, they would get tired, especially after playing every night. So having a display where one person would take the ball and dribble it around and sort of mock their opponents gave the other guys a break. The other reason they did it was because if they're winning by a lot, they were worried that they wouldn't be invited back. So they gave the audience a show that entertained them to make them want them to be invited again. Eventually created the Magic Circle where they played Sweet Georgia Brown. Some of the things they invented were palming the basketball, high and low dribbling, fakes that you would take for granted today they developed. And so when you think of players such as Chris Paul or Steve Nash, you really have to look at the Globetrotters as being the originators of that style of flashy basketball. What's really fascinating to me about the Globetrotters is not only did they break down the doors for African-American athletes in the United States, and not only did they bring basketball to the world, they did so with a product that's just fun. The reason they're so successful is because they're fun. Mm-hmm. And generation after generation, they do the same jokes, do the same tricks, and people just love it. And I think that's a good story of how something positive can really initiate change. The Globetrotters, you know, they became more and more successful. And they became a full team with substitutes. And at the same time, professional basketball is starting to develop. And in the late 1930s, they had a tournament in Chicago Stadium for all of the best, you know, professional basketball teams. They weren't affiliated with the league. They're just guys who were playing basketball for money. Teams. And the first year, the Harlem Renaissance, an African-American team, and the Harlem Globetrotters, an African-American team, played each other in the semifinals. And the Harlem Renaissance won and then went on to win the entire tournament. The next year, it was reversed, and the Globetrotters won. And then they went on to win the entire tournament. So the first two professional basketball tournaments are won by African-American teams. This led to a lot of interest in the sporting public to what these African-American teams can do. So the Globetrotters, which are always, if anything, very savvy in terms of grabbing the attention and going with it, go on a tour where they take the best college seniors, where they take the best white college seniors and did a tournament across the country with them and broke all these attendance records. So people, then they showed that they could beat the teams of the best white players. So the public, again, more interest. Then in the beginning of the 50s, late 40s, early 50s, the professional basketball was starting to develop. It was really built on the back of George Mikan, who was a 6'10 center from DePaul in Chicago. And he was placed after his college career on the Minneapolis Lakers. Everybody knows Los Angeles Lakers. There's no lakes in California. It's because they're originally from Minnesota. Well, the Globetrotters negotiate an exhibition game against the Lakers with the mighty George Mikan. And they win. Everybody is shocked. So the next year, they have another game. This time, the Movie Tone News attends the game. Well, the Globetrotters do so well that they end up putting on their show against the Lakers. And it's filmed for a national audience. Everyone sees this African-American team not only beating supposedly the best professional team in the country, they see them doing their traditional routine. And people love it. Soon they're playing at Madison Square Garden and then traveling around the world into such places as Argentina and Germany. Well, so now they're the most popular, best basketball team in the country. Well, soon after that, the NBA begins to draft its first African-American players. So the Globetrotters can be seen as opening the door for African-Americans in professional basketball.
For the History Explorer podcast, this is Matt Ringelstetter. Join us again next month as we take another look behind the scenes here at the National Museum of American History. Podcast made possible by a grant from the Verizon Foundation.
that was that cat, all right.